And good afternoon, Scott Spears along with you here on the Now program on this Thursday afternoon, January the 24th, 2019, 15 minutes past the hour, and we're going to have a great two-hour broadcast today. Now, before we get to our guest in hour number one, I do want to remind you that the Mike Wilson Show, a new public affairs talk show here on WWGH Radio, airs every Monday between 5:10 and 6 p.m. Every Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., the Mike Wilson Show, a new public affairs talk show here on WWGH Radio. It's a great show. Check it out. Now, this hour, we're going to have a lot of fun because we are joined by a gentleman who is no stranger to radio and television. He is a nationally known medium and psychic and a first-time visitor to this program, Gary Spivey. Gary, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. You know, Gary, that term psychic has been around for so long. What's your definition of the term psychic?
Well, I would say for me personally, the definition of the word psychic for me is I got known as a psychic because I could do psychic functions. In other words, I would know things before they would happen. I predicted things. One of my nicknames was the modern day Nostradamus in the tabloids and everything, you know, forever. And so I got known as a psychic. And so, realistically, I'm a spiritual person who is spiritually gifted. And so, and if you ask what are my gifts, well, I'm certainly psychic, but I'm also a medium, which means I can talk to dead people on the other side if they have anything to say. But I'm also a healer, and so a spiritual healer. And with being a healer, this is a person that can get rid of dark energies that cause problems in our physical body or in our lives, you know, in the world we live in. And I can get rid of the dark energies, and it seems to have a catastrophic effect instantly on people. And so, so I do a lot of different things. But so here we are.
Well, it's interesting because the term psychic over the years, I think it used to be an okay term, but kind of like gossip, nobody calls themselves gossip columnist anymore because gossip, for some reason, got a very bad rap. Do you think the term psychic has a similar problem?
I think it can, you know, especially in different religions. While in every religion, you're talking about spiritual things. And everything I do all day long is something about something spiritual. So it's in essence the same thing. But if you're called a psychic, then that is a bad term. That's a bad word. And some people are very turned off with the word psychic, and maybe in a way I am too, because there's really I think everybody's psychic. Everybody has intuitions. That's the only thing being psychic is. Most of the time, people have some form of psychic dreams that they're aware of from time to time, or they may know who's calling on the phone or whatever, these little things. And they're happening more and more often here on the planet Earth where we live because there's so much light on the planet today. Even with all the troubles of the world, there's really a lot of light. And so the psychic ability, the spiritual ability, the healing ability, all comes from light. And that would be light from the heavens, which would, you know, certainly be God, the angels, that's how it works.
Aside from personal people, are you able to know events, things that will happen in the future?
Yeah, I can. As a matter of fact, I predicted, I was on a very popular radio show in Florida in the beginning of my radio career, which was the early 90s, and I was on a show called The Ron and Ron Show, and on this show, Larry the Cable Guy was spawned from that show. I was Ron and Fez that was on satellite radio forever. I mean, so a lot of us came from that show. It was a lot of really, these guys were very talented, and it was a great show, you know. I would say, and the question, what was the question again?
Predictions in the future.
So that show, I got off on another tangent of something I wanted to tell you, but the predictions were really like, the kind of thing that I had to do weekly or I wouldn't be back on the following week. And so it was that kind of thing. And I was never not on. So So I had to nail a prediction, a catastrophic event. Like some of the ones I remember, I predicted Hurricane Andrew about a year ahead, exactly where it would be, you know, and the day it would make landfall and the damage it would do. I predicted things like Flight TWA-800, the day that would occur, you know, the Oklahoma City bombings. So a lot of these things that were sort of in our history that we know about, I predicted September 11th on many, many morning drive time radio shows. And after I predicted September 11th, I felt really lousy. I felt very, very bad about what I had done, just at even predicting such a horrible thing. And so I, in my meditations, I asked my angels, I asked God, I'm like, what is, you know, if I can see all these things, could I do anything to fix this? Could I add something to it? And they said, sure, just project a lot of light. And if you see dark energies on it, you know, ask for the gifts to get rid of the dark energies. And so so about then I stopped predicting for a few years because I would just see things happening negatively. I would see all these negative things, and I would simply then clear them, clear the energy, and I would see a change, or I would hear in the news where someone got caught, you know, like I would see different things happening, like the shoe bomber, you know, back in the day, who was trying to do a little bomb thing with his shoe. I got a vision of that the day ahead and projected a lot of light to this airplane. And I realized that if you project light, which is simply a form of praying, if you wish, or certainly it's a form of meditating. Everybody has this ability to wish someone well instead of wishing someone bad. And so if you project light and if you get really good at it, you can keep these a lot of things from happening in a bad way. And that really does happen.
You know, Gary, is there a catch-22 in that for somebody who's predicting it? Because if you predict it and it happens, then people say, oh, you were right about that. But if you predict it and send good energy and it doesn't happen, then people say, well, you didn't know what was going on.
Well, that's true. And so it sort of took me out of the prediction business, if you would, and I became very popular and famous for predicting things. But, you know, I didn't care because I figured I could do something else to get popular, or I would find my way, because I really just evolved to the point where not only could I see bad things occurring, but I could, you know, get together with even, you know, some, you know, audiences and people, and I would talk about, you know, different negative things I would see, and I would ask the whole radio audience to project light to it and show them how. And I realized that there was really something to this, and there's a total science to it. There really is. And so, and that's what healing's all about. You can heal bad things that are going to occur, or you can heal your own physical body, and people really can do this. And so I think it's pretty amazing, the whole science of it.
Mm. Interesting. Gary, what was your childhood like?
I was a happy kid. I grew up in a little town in rural North Carolina. I didn't grow up wealthy. We grew up poor. And my grandma's farm, but I didn't really know about being poor because everybody was poor, at least everyone we knew. And we were happy, though. It was really, really a nice childhood. I was able to see things before they would happen. I remember telling my father one time that there was a guy plowing his field with a tractor, and I started screaming and yelling and freaking out. I must have been about 4 or 5 years old. And I said, the tractor is going to turn over on him. Stop him, stop him. And my dad looking like, what are you talking about? What's this kid going through? But then when it got to the end of the row, plowing the row, it actually flipped over on the guy. And he survived, but it hurt him. And, you know, so my parents learned that if I started, you know, going off about something or telling them things, when I would tell them things, the things would be true, you know, and so they would really happen.
When was the first time something like this happened?
Maybe I was probably 3 or 4 years old. I remember my father was moving some boards in the yard, and I told him to not turn the board over because there's a snake under it. And there was.
That's interesting.
You know? Yeah, and I remember telling him he was going to have a car wreck when he was going to work. And I remember him being mad at me when he got back home and his car was all bent up. You know, so.
Now, anyway. do you get visions, or how does this happen? Kind of take me through the process of what happens before the event happens.
Well, it's like a movie. You know, it's kind of like a movie in your head. You can be clairvoyant, which means your vision. You can also be clairaudient, which you can hear, you know, psychically. You'll hear a very pointed voice that will tell you things. And you can also sense it, you know, just feel it, more or less. And so you have all these different things that you can do psychically. I can even smell and taste psychically. And so I can go to a restaurant and tell you the lamb chops are great or don't order the fish. And so all my friends, you know, take advantage of that. But you know, so all your senses can be, you know, added and heightened into a psychic awareness. And so, and it just has to do with meditating, really. That's all it has to do with. Like, I can look at your energy. Is it okay if I look at you?
Yeah, go right. Go right ahead.
Okay, when I look at you, I would see, and everybody has darkness. Let me point this out. But I'm clearing a little bit of darkness on your head. And when I did, your chest got warm. See, I'm an empath, so I'll feel whatever's happening in your body and mine. See how your chest got a little warm, a little lighter? Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Okay, and so you weren't really expecting to feel anything. But you do. So that was just a dark energy off your chest, and this was something that was affecting you in a negative way, and I got rid of it. And so now I just see a lot of light, love, going into your body. When I lit your body up, so your whole body's a little warm now. Feel that?
Yes, a little bit I do.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
And so, and when I look at this, I see that I see dark energies in your spine and your back. And so do you have any back issues?
You know, I don't. I really don't have any back issues.
I see a little bit of darkness in your mid back, and I just pulled it out. And so, do you feel it warm now?
I do feel a little warm, and I have to say, the room is cold right now. The room is 67 degrees.
Oh, okay. And see, well, the reason you're feeling warm is just because I got rid of the darkness, and that allowed your natural light. And this is from you, from heaven, from God, from your angels. It doesn't come from me. I just got rid of the dark, so the light would just move into you. And that's what happened. And then I saw a little bit of darkness in your mid back. I cleared that off, and so whatever that was won't manifest into anything negative, you know. And so that's what that is.
So I'm good health wise at this point.
Yeah. No. Well, you look pretty good to me. You know, you look pretty good to me. You've got a little bit of dark. If I read your health, that's another dimension I would look into to look at your physical tissue and your body. I would see a little bit of slight darkness around the edge of your cerebral cavity. Which I can get rid of, and that's just maybe. How's your sleep?
You know, it's been a little up and down lately.
Okay, well, because this is usually I see this energy when people have a little sleep deprivation going, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so where you're waking up or you're not sleeping quite right. But I cleared this darkness out of your head, and now I think you'll sleep better. And you have a little bit of darkness on your throat, which is around your thyroid. You know, and so, you know, have you ever had your thyroid checked?
Not that I can recall.
Okay. This is a really simple thing, but if you've gained any weight or lost any weight, that's always a good indicator that something's going on a little out there with your thyroid. But I cleared that off, and your stomach a little bit, I think you're lactose intolerant sometimes and sometimes not. And so I don't know if you recognize that or not. A good way to figure it out is to drink a big glass of milk, wait 2 hours, and see if you feel lousy.
You know, it's interesting because if I eat ice cream or something, I'm okay. The ice cream does not bother me. But if I do consume a lot of milk, even 2%, I do get a little bit of an upset stomach.
Right. And see, that's the reason you're lactose intolerant sometimes. And sometimes not. And that goes back to a problem that I see with really is gallbladder related. And so with your gallbladder, sometimes it's doing things a little different than other times. That's not unusual for people. Do you ever have any cramping sensations underneath your right rib cage?
You know, I used to, but I honestly, it hasn't happened for a really long time. But when I was younger, I did.
Okay, well, those are gallbladder attacks a lot of times when you feel that super cramp under your right rib cage, and so. But as I see it, that's what's making you lactose intolerant sometimes and sometimes not. One knee, one leg has a little different energy than the other one. just a different feel. I don't know if there's any weakness on one side or one squeaks a little, but I can just feel it. It's not, that's what I feel. Hmm. You know, that's it.
Well, that's good news. I'll take that. If that's all the problem there is, I can deal with that.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No, not too bad. Now, Gary, one of the things that's most interesting when people say the term psychic is this medium ability. This is talking to people who are no longer here. Now, how does that take place?
Well, if you can see dimensionally, and see, by me seeing your gallbladder, if you would, right, or your thyroid or your lactose intolerance, you know, I'm seeing in a dimension, and I can see what's going on there. And so I think most people probably believe that when you die, you go somewhere. Something occurs, and there's a spiritual connection where you're going to a higher place, a higher power, heaven, God, angels. And so I can see those dimensions. And so basically when I talk to someone on the other side, I just simply go there in my head. And so and see where they are. I mean, not always when I read people that have died are they in heaven, but I don't find them in hell. So I don't know if hell is a myth. I used to believe there was no such thing, but I later now do believe there are hells, but people get tangled up in these hell dimensions actually while they're still alive. That creates depression, illness, sickness. And when I got to where I could see into these dimensions, basically, it made me realize that there were these dimensions where I do see a lot of demons and stuff. These things would be a dimension. But I don't see people that have died that go into those dimensions. I see people, if they die of suicides, usually they're earthbound. In other words, if they shoot themselves outside on the doorstep, I'll simply see the person on the doorstep. You see, and they'll, you know, looks like what they looked like when they shot themselves. So I think they get hung in the moment of death, which is a horrible place to be. And so the worst thing is if you commit suicides, if you die real wrongly, you can stay earthbound. Then I see people in transition, which is like a beautiful garden in heaven. I would maybe think maybe biblically the Bible was talking about purgatory, and this could be sort of what this space may be. But it's actually a beautiful place where there's lots of angels, and people are healing up from whatever they went through on earth, especially if they went through long illnesses. Or I'll see them in regular, I call it regular heaven, and whatever they like to do when they were alive, whatever they felt passionate about, I will see them in this part of heaven. And so if they loved having their big house, they have a big house. Even if they had a small house on earth but really wanted a big one, they'll probably have a big one in heaven. In heaven, as best I can tell, you really get spoiled. If people liked old cars, they usually have a car collection. If people like to knit or sew, they're usually doing that. So in heaven, you kind of just do what you like. And if you're usually around friends and family and loved ones, and there's no such thing as jealousies or fears of any kind. I mean, that energy don't exist there, which is nice.
It's interesting because when you're reading a person, do their people come to you? How does that work?
If they ask, I can see interdimensionally and control it. So if they ask to talk to a dead person on the other side, do you have anybody you want to talk to?
Well, I had a grandmother who died recently that I can think of.
I see her. She stuck her tongue out at you. Hmm. And so she's being sort of silly, as she would be with you maybe when you were a little kid. And so this is way, you know, this is what I sense. But I can smell food cooking. She's with a bunch of other people on the other side, and I just smell food. That's what I smell. Was she a cook, or did she hang out with a lot of cooks?
Well, she did cook somewhat. As she got older, she didn't cook so much anymore because she was living alone. But, yeah, she liked to cook.
No, I'm just smelling food on the other side. But whatever this is, it smells sweet, like almost like apple. You know, it sounds like I'm making it up in my head, but it smells like apple pies or turnovers or something, but it's like real sweet smelling, and so I see that. She also shows me a quilt and material or like that kind of thing, and she's twiddling it in her fingers, and so she shows me that. you have any of her quilts or any materials or blankets or anything?
I do have some that were left, yes.
Okay. Well, she's telling me that to put them around you and she can see you. In other words, like she's letting you know that this is a relic as such. So these items meant something to her. And so there's some real, I think you might have some real special ones even that had something that reminded her of her mother. And so, but I see this. And so if you simply just hold those quilts, you would actually be able to probably have a sense of her or hear her speak to you too. And so it works that way. And so a lot of times people can hold objects and they get in touch with, but she's telling me that you could do that.
It's interesting. Now, when you are when this is happening, are you seeing her, or how is this going on?
Kinda. You know, I see her. She pops in and out a little bit, and I see an older lady. It would be a grandma sort of image in my head. And then she became very young. She was gorgeous. She was beautiful. I don't know if you ever had any pictures of her young. You ever seen her young?
I have seen her young, yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty, right?
She was, yes.
Yeah, very pretty. And so I just see her. She almost looks like Kelsey Grammer's daughter. But I see her. She's real pretty. And so as she went on talking to me, she went out of being old to showing me that she was young. She's about looks like she's in her 20s, and she's making a joke and says she's a hottie now. Your grandma's kind of playful. Was she playful?
She was a playful lady.
Yeah, she's being very playful with me right now. And she says, tell him I love him, but to behave himself. So she's telling me to tell you to behave yourself. She loves you very much. She rides with you in the car sometimes. And then she shows me something about a different car or a new car, something about a change of a car. She shows me that.
It's interesting because, you know, what is your explanation why some people have this ability and why some people don't?
It's almost like, why not? It's almost that simple, really. There's not, I would say, the real, probably the reason, you know, our souls have traveled through universes of who knows where we've been, you know, in all the different incarnations, and this is not the only life or the only place, you know, we've all been, is in the life we're in now. And so I think some of us have different, you know, energies and spiritual gifts that we're born with. I think it's probably karmic. And people are different. Different people are born to do different jobs. Some people are mechanical. Some people are spiritual and they have gifts to help out other people, you know? And so, and these days I see so many of the little kids being born in with all the abilities that I have and then some. I mean, they're little freaks of nature. They can do all kinds of things. It's kind of interesting seeing these new kids being born.
Gary, you've been doing this for a while. What is the most memorable reading that you've ever had?
That would cover a lot of, that cover a lot of ground. I can give you a few that would be memorable for other people. I was at home in Ojai, California. I live in North Carolina and Ojai, California. But I was home in Ojai, California, and a beautiful spiritual place close to Santa Barbara. And Lacey Peterson had went missing, and I was going to sleep, and as I shut my eyes, I saw her face, and it was shimmering, sort of, and I was like, what is that? I didn't even really recognize it was her in the beginning, but I was getting an automatic vision that I wasn't trying to get. It just came to me, and this vision came to me, and she was underneath the water, and she says, they'll find me, Gary. They'll find me. Help my family. You can do it. Please help my family. And I heard that, right? And so I was like, oh, no. I said, I might could help you, but I'm not the guy, because I'm not going to go run down your family like most of the psychic, a lot of psychics do, you know, and you know, intrude and say, hey, I've got something here, because I just felt like it was not, I would be, you know, going into someone else's business, and I don't do that. And so, but the next day, her father called me. And so, and I would say one of the most memorable readings I ever did was when I read him, and I actually told him exactly where her body was. And I told him it would be in two pieces. I said, I don't know what that is, but I see it in two parts, two pieces. And it was found right where I told him it would be, you know, where her husband went fishing. And I told him a lot of other details. And as I told him these details, I think it made sense to him a lot. And then it all unfolded to be exactly true. He told me, I guess he was working, you know, with the authorities, and he told them, you know, what I saw. And but anyway, they found her the next day. Everything kind of came to pass, and her baby was in one place and she was in another. So, you know, that was pretty memorable. And for me, because, you know, this was something that was just meant to be, because the spirit came to me and said, please help my family. And then the family called me the next day to help them. And so so that was memorable. And then I became real close with him. And he actually recently passed. But I became buddies with him and tried to help the family as much as I could.
Mm. It's interesting because that sounds tough. Is that tough on you to have an instance like that happen?
Well, you know, I was somehow just in it. You know, I was really invested in it, and it was so much in the media. Of course, everybody remembers it, and it was so much in the media. And I had, you know, different people knew about, you know, my involvement in it, and it was even more, a lot more so than I'm saying. And so I, you know, I kind of just backed away, and I didn't really play the media card on this, because I got so involved. I really just cared about helping her, and helping the family. And so I would say that one was a big one for me, because I didn't go for the media card, and I do radio and TV all the time. And so it's like, you know, I do shows in Vegas for the last 25 years up and down the strip, and, you know, thank God they're always sold out. And so, I mean, I've been pretty lucky, but I really didn't play the media card with this, and I could have gotten a lot of media attention because I got so into just really helping out the family. And so, those things can be painful because you feel the pain. You know, you empath what that is. Like a minute ago, I could feel your chest getting warm in an empathic way, and you confirmed, yeah, that was happening. Well, see, with me, if I'm reading somebody, I'm empathing what they feel. And so, and of course, when you lose a child, that's very heartbreaking, and there's nothing bigger.
Mm-hmm. Without question. Gary, a lot of people have a problem tying psychics into religion. A lot of people of a religious nature see this as the work of the devil, not a good thing.
Right.
What do you see, the connection with religion?
Well, I really never cared too much about what anybody thinks, to be honest with you. So I just would kind of make up my own mind, you know, what I could do as a little child. I don't think I was a little devil child. I was a very kind, hearted child that loved animals and, you know, did, you know, pretty good in school. A lot of times, you know, the teachers, I would be one of the kids they liked, you know. And so I was just able to do this as a little kid. So I don't think I was a little devil child. And so there was nothing there that was of the devil. And so I think that's just, you know, people being ignorant, really. That's my opinion, because if they knew what I did from day in and day out, they would realize that there's nothing demonic about that, but a lot of things are really having to do with, you know, divine interventions of things and angels and what God wants you to do. And, you know, I just try to help people all day long. So I think so. I don't think so. But, you know, biblically, maybe if they read the book of Corinthians, the book of Corinthians is a very good, you know, it kind of talks about the spiritual gifts. And one of the in Corinthians, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I think it's maybe Corinthians 14, I'm not sure. It talks about how that the most wonderful gift that you could get would be the gift of discernment. In other words, of the gift of insight, because then you can help other people. And so I would just say, well, if you chose that verse out of the Bible would condone people that are spiritually gifted that can see things. So now maybe you choose another verse out of the Bible from somewhere else and you would say, yeah, it's got to be the devil. Why not? You know, but I mean, they burned, you know, people that were spiritually gifted at the stake, you know, and religion historically, you can look back through religion's past and it's pretty crazy, really. You know, not just Christianity, but all the religions, you know.
What happens at the moment when we die?
Well, you either stay earthbound if you shoot yourself. I don't think you go anywhere, as best I can tell. So the number one thing is don't kill yourself, because that's obviously got to be against the rules, God's rules, because the people stay earthbound. I see it all the time. And I can actually invoke angels, and usually a person that knew the person can talk them into getting to the other side, going to the light, and the light will come, the angels will come, it'll pick them up, they'll get real hot. I mean, you know, I do it time after time after time. And so I would say that will happen. Or you'll start, you know, if you're just passing away and it's your time, you'll usually be able to see light or angels or some of your loved ones, and they're coming into from the light. You know, there's a big beam of light, and you just sort of step into it, and then you go to heaven. You know, up you go. And so, that's usually the process.
With this gift and ability, do you have any regrets over the years?
Oh, God, I must. Well, not a whole lot, I would say. I would say that, what are my regrets? I usually, like I said, I don't care. I think people have regrets when they care a lot about what other people think and they live their life for other people. And I hadn't really found that to be the case for myself. I always just want to help people. I can't think of what the regrets are, which is good news. That's sort of an odd question that I don't get asked a lot, because everybody assumes I don't have any, but I must have some. I would say, what would be my regrets? Probably that I should have tried to be a spiritual person, a psychic, you know, medium, healer, earlier even than I did. You know, and so I could have done it even, you know, as a child, from because I was so gifted as a kid. But really, I was well into my late 30s before I decided to really even try to do it professionally. And it was sort of an accident that it even happened, you know. Mm. And so because I was working and I was in business. And so and with being in business, why in the world would you want to go read palms on the corner? You know, I couldn't understand. I didn't think that was a bright idea. You know, it didn't seem like a good business model to me. And so, but maybe if I would have even done it earlier, I could have helped more people. You know, maybe that would have been good.
You know, it's interesting because people remember you on television and commercials and certainly on the internet. And one of the most interesting characteristics about you, I would say, when people see you immediately, it is the hair.
Right.
How did that come about?
Well, I played in a rock band, when I was in my teenage years as a teenager. And I played in a band when I was playing in nightclubs by 15 years old. And so I was playing music I had a big blonde afro. And so I went from having a big blonde afro to a big white afro or gray afro, and so that's what I did, and so that I thought I looked older. I was, you know, playing the game, so to speak, and then it stuck, and so then from then on I just had a big white fro, and so I'm that guy that, you know, people usually sometimes they don't know my name, but if they see me, they'll, you know, go, psychic guy. So they associate, you know, I think it's just become a trademark, you know, and so it's just, well, how I look.
It is your real hair then?
Yeah, there's, well, these days there's hair extensions because with doing shows in Vegas and stuff, it's much easier. So they figured they perfected the method, and so it's much easier.
Now, Gary, with about 10 minutes left, I want to go back to this idea of predicting things because it is interesting. And for a lot of people who do have some kind of disbelief, that is, you know, if we say it now and then it happens, people think, oh, well, that's very interesting. And at this particular time in our lives, there are a lot of things going on that are not life and death, but that we wonder what the future is going to be. And right. Being in the middle of the longest government shutdown in the history of the United States, do you see anything when this is going to end?
Well, you know, I think this one has to do with maybe my prediction. One of my predictions at the first of the year, and one of my predictions at the first of the year was, I see a lot of people that were total Donald Trump fans that are now going to turn on him. And so, and that was my prediction. And then I said, I also see some people who were not Donald Trump fans that will decide for some weird reason they like him. And so it's a weird reason why they like him, and it's a weird reason why they don't like him. It's almost like he does this thing where he flips things around, or the world or the universe flips things around, you know. And it's, you know, with me politically, I'm not too political, really. You know, it's sort of, I always make, you know, the statements a little bit above my pay grade, and so as to say who's right or wrong. But, you know, I think everybody has to decide that for themselves, and it's pretty clear these days and easy to do. But I do see a very changing thing. And so I think with, you know, having a shutdown as long as it has been, as it starts to hurt people, I don't think people really want to see innocent people hurt, you know, and people out of work and not paying, be able to pay their bills or stuff. And you know, I don't know that people really want to see that. And so I don't know that that's important. I don't know that any political thing is so important to see it hurting people. I think that's what I think, just my opinion.
Mm. Now, the other question is, and it has to do with politics, but not political in and of its essence. President Trump, obviously, we all know, is under investigation, and there is some interest in what the investigation will bring. What do you see the future of that being?
Well, when you ask right then, I heard two charges that he'll probably be indicted for, possibly three.
Hmm.
And I saw that, you know, one of my predictions at the first of the year was that there will be more than one person indicted from the White House or from his camp. And so this is going to be multiple indictments, I think.
Do you think he will finish his term?
I heard no when you said it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just predicting. I understand I'm not political in any way. I'm just telling you what I hear, you know?
Right. Now, when you hear no, is there a time frame on that?
You know, when you ask me that question, it's almost like I got the whole internet downloaded into my head. And so the answer would be, it's too complicated for me to answer that easy. This will be a year of ironies. Everything will be ironic things, you know? It's like the irony is going to be, the accuser will be found out to be the bad person, and the bad person will be found out to be the good person. And you know, it's going to just be so crazy. By the end of all this, I think we'll have I think everybody will be so crazy in their head that they'll wonder if there's anything good ever anywhere, or anything really bad anywhere, or maybe there's a little bit of both in everybody. I'm not sure, but it looks like that to me. It's sort of a real hodgepodge and a big mess. And so,
you know, one of the things that's interesting that all of us have been talking about is that this investigation all started because of ties to Russia. And now they're on to obstruction of justice. And I guess the question is, when we go back to the original question, did President Trump have ties to Russia? What do you think?
Some. Yeah, I heard some. Sure. Yes.
Mm. Now, when we get out of specific questions, in the next 6 months, do you see anything of significance, huge significance, that would impact everybody happening in the United States?
I think there's strange earthquakes, and they may be in odd places. So I have a sense of that. California is always a gimme for earthquakes, and you don't have to be real psychic to say that. But it feels like to me there could be some earthquakes that are very odd earthquakes in an odd pattern that would, you know, and this will be over the next 3 years is what I see. But it's almost like some of the plates are shifting around, you know, of the continents and such. And, you know, as they always are a little bit, but this could be more, this is a different thing. And so I think that this will be in the news. And this is, but again, this is in a 3-year kind of role, is what I see. And some of these things could be linked back to the Korean leader who keeps on blowing up nuclear bombs underground.
Interesting. Now, Gary, I want to come back in our final 5 minutes here to the spiritual healer idea. Have you ever met somebody else who had the ability to do that?
I must have. Yeah, I have. It wasn't on the tip of my tongue. It took me a minute to think about it, but I probably met maybe a half a dozen people over all the years. Three of them would be children. And one of the most miraculous healers I ever saw was a little kid that I started working with when he was 4 years old, because he started telling his mom things just like I. He sounded like me when I was a kid, and she knew my story, and she actually booked a private reading with me and come and sat down with her little kid, and the little kid was telling me what he could see, and I realized the kid could see heaven, could see God, could see angels, could see dead people, you know, and he was very sure of himself, and now he's a young man. He's about 17 years old. He has a 4.0 grade average. He's loves science, and he's still very spiritually gifted. And so, but he was really able to heal people with just touching them or pulling. He would see the dark energy in them. He would describe it. I can see it. So, and he would see exactly what I see. And so it was very interesting working with him, and I still work with him. And he's, like I said, now he's 17 years old, and he's a young man that lives in Las Vegas, and so with his family.
Gary, when I searched you out last night and was just doing a little bit of research, it's interesting because when you search Gary Spivey, psychic, on the internet, your site pops up first. But, you know, there are people who have called you a fraud. There are people who have said you have preyed on people to get money and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to those people?
Well, you know, I don't respond to them because if someone followed me during the course of my day, they would realize, first of all, how hard I work and how much I do for other people, and they would realize how much I do for free. In my world, I went back to my original hometown in North Carolina, and have been for the last 15 years redoing the whole town. So, it was very sad. All textiles went away to China, and so the town was broke. People were broken. It was really sad, and now we turned it into a real artist community. You know, we have an incredible art center and a lot of young artists, and a lot, you know, just a lot of good stuff is happening. And it's been a total labor of love where I've used a lot of my own money to take care of that. And so I'm a pretty generous person. People, if somebody looks successful, I think these days a lot of times people are really mad. They get mad because they appear successful. And so I think that's pretty wrong. I know a lot of successful people that do a lot of really nice things. And if they didn't have success, they wouldn't have the money to do anything good. So they couldn't help.
That's the interesting thing, is that I think one of the reasons the term psychic has been relegated to a bad word is that in most cases, there's some money involved. And I think the skeptic would say, if you have the ability and can do it without the exchange of money, why not do it for free?
I don't know if anybody could make a living doing that, if that's what you choose to spend your time doing. You know, I think you have to realize that you could be a singer, and you could have amazing talents of singing. So why would you not get paid to sing or act or paint or anything that is a talent, right? Or play the violin or play the guitar. I mean, and so I don't think that it's a bad thing to get paid for your talents. And I think that there's a lot of psychics that make a lot more money than me. And there's probably a lot of psychics that make a lot less money than I do. But it's I don't see anything that would be a negative at making a living if that's what your talent is and you help people out.
You know, I think one of the reasons for this final question is, and I think churches are even getting this in some way, that there are these mega churches. And you have, and yes, there's nothing wrong with a church paying its bills, and there's nothing wrong with food pantries and things that help the community, but when preachers have private jets and live in mansions, I think people look at that in a little bit of a skeptical way. Not that they don't do good for people, but they say, well, that's, you didn't have to have that much, you didn't have to charge that much, I think is kind of the same thing with psychics.
Well, I think that maybe money is sort of something that happens. It's a fallout effect. If you're real popular, you kind of get paid. You know, most celebrities have nice houses, right?
They do.
Okay. And so I think that that's kind of what happens. And so you have, you know, evangelists that are great evangelists, and they, you know, so they have a bigger following. They have bigger responsibilities. They got to be in more than one place at the same time, almost. And it makes sense on paper to have a private jet. And so I don't think that's bad. You know, when people are in that level of business, you know, you mentioned that president. I mean, he has one, you know, or more than one probably. And so as most of the people do that are in government that are, you know, worth $100 million or $200 million or a few billion. And so these people don't travel commercially most of the time. And so it's just the way it is. And so, you know, I guess that's just the way it is.
And it could be because I think, you know, not all psychics have always been on the level. And I think that muddies the water a little bit because people paint broad brushes and they say, well, none of that is real. So that is, you know, taking money for a service that is not real, and I think that's the rub.
Well, you know, I think it can be with some people, and I think on people that have an experience, a real experience, say with me, I don't think that's the case, or they wouldn't talk to me time and time again. You know, I have a lot of clients that I've had for 30 years because I've helped them in many situations and many crises. You know, and you end up being really good friends with a lot of people. And over the years, I've been very lucky to have wonderful people to work with. And so, but you either do somebody some good or you don't. And if you don't do them any good, chances are you won't talk to them again, no matter how popular you are.
This has been a fascinating hour. Gary, I hope you come back with us because it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, well, good, yeah, good. Well, I enjoyed talking to you. I feel like I'm just hanging out talking to a buddy, so this is great. This is really great. Usually I'm reading. You know, I don't even hardly know how to do an interview where somebody's asking me questions about myself because I'm usually always just answering questions about other people, you know. Well, and so this has been a joy just to hang out.
I hope you come back, Gary. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Gary Spivey. Psychic Medium. There you have it. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Radio 107.1 FM is supported by affordable events.